So let's turn this morning to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And we're going to begin reading at chapter 9, verse 1. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part, in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod, that budded in the tables of the covenant, and above it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we can not now speak in detail. That's the earthly sanctuary. The next four verses will be about the limitations to the earthly sanctuary service. Now, when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sin committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regards to the conscience, concerned only with foods and drinks and various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. Now the next part will be the heavenly sanctuary, but Christ came as a high priest. By the way, high priest means great. In the Greek, means great. So you could read it this way, but Christ came as great, as a great priest, of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats or the blood of cows, but by his own blood he entered the most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes and heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressor under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And then the next four or five verses talks about that the mediator has to die for the testament to be in force. After that, we look at verse 23, which talks about, just because I need to be brief a little bit, greatness of Christ's sacrifice. Let's begin with verse 23. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ had not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but unto heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer once since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed for men to once die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear sins, the sins of many, to those who eagerly wait for him. He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Let us bow and pray and ask the Lord to bless his word to us this morning. Our Father, we read that we can boldly approach the throne of grace this morning because Christ has provided the way. And so we come before you this morning, knowing that you are there as our living God. And there Christ poured his blood on the mercy seat, turning away the wrath of God for the people of God. Cleansing is available for all believers and to those who come to Christ for believing. And so we thank you this morning for your plan of redemption. Thank you for your great salvation. Thank you that you apply that blood and that sacrifice in our lives every day. We know that Christ's blood pleads for us continually, for Christ liveth forever, and Christ has a priesthood that is unchangeable. And so we thank you this morning that we have such a high priest who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, Lord, we thank you and praise you and ask for your presence with us this morning. Give us understanding. Oh, we are so slow to understand. We're even more slow to digest the truth, and even more slow, unfortunately, to apply the truth in our lives. So we pray this morning that your Spirit would do a great work in our hearts. Change us and mold us in the likeness of our great priest, Jesus Christ in heaven. And so this morning, humbly but boldly, we praise you and thank you. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So this morning, the title of the message is The Priesthood. We will be looking at the office of the priesthood, the New Testament authority for a human priesthood, and claims of the Roman priesthood, the Christian ministry, not a sacrificing ministry. For we know that all believers are priests, and we are kings and priests. That's what the Bible declares. Now, every believer, as I just did, and when you pray, you enter into this holy of holy. You enter into the presence of God. But that's because Christ opened the way for us. He paid the price to bring us here. And I want to take a look at some of these things this morning, and especially when we get towards the end, about what our ministry really entails as far as being a priest. As far as being kings, that will have to wait. We are kings, but we will reign as kings later on. But while we're here on earth, we have a great responsibility. We have been given the title of priests, and it's an honor that God has given unto us because of the merits of Christ, not because we have earned it in any way. But this is the plan of God. This is what God has designed for his church. The office or work of the priest is perhaps the most difficult to present and the least understood by Christians. In the Old Testament, the work of Christ was prefigured under three offices: the prophet, the priest, and king. Each of these was given special prominence in the nation of Israel. Each was designed to set forth a particular work of the coming Redeemer. So it was a prefiguring Christ. It was symbolic of Christ. In other words, it was the visual. They saw in the flesh what Christ was going to do in the future. And this work was done not voluntarily. Each of those offices and the men who served under that were ordained and called to do this work. The prophet was appointed to be God's spokesman to the people, revealing to them his will and purpose for their salvation. Second, the priest was appointed to represent the people before God and to offer sacrifices for them and to intercede with God on their behalf. And third, the king was appointed to rule over the people, to defend them and to restrain and conquer all his and their enemies. Now, in this study here today, we're going to look at the priesthood and not the other two. The essential idea of a priest is that he is to be a mediator between God and men. Man in his fallen state is a sinner, and he's guilty before God, alienated from him. He has no right of approach to God, nor does he have the ability to come to God. When Adam sinned, Adam died. He died spiritually. So did his wife. And he lost his ability to approach God. He didn't even have the desire to come to God. Because if you remember, when he sinned, God had to come to him. So God is always the first cause. So God, in his great compassion and love, reached out to Adam to save him and to provide a way for men to be saved. But man does not have the ability on his own to come to God. And nor does he desire to do it. Because we saw Adam, he went to hide. He went into hiding. And God said, Adam, where are you? And God, and Adam was hiding because he feared God. So instead, man likes to flee God instead of approaching God. He wants nothing to do with him. He is therefore helpless until someone undertakes the act as his representative before God. And this is the portion of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus done. In ancient Israel, the priest performed three primarily duties. The first one, he ministered at the sanctuary before God, offering sacrifices to him in behalf of the people. Two, they taught the people the law of God. And three, they inquired for the people concerning the will of God and the covenant between God and man. Who held, these men held the offices of priest, prophet, and king, were only shadows of the great prophet, the great priest, and our great king. With the coming of Christ, each of these offices found fulfillment. And with the accomplishment of his work of redemption, each of these offices, as it's functioned on human level, reached its fulfillment and was abolished. As regards to the priesthood, Christ alone is now the high priest, our one and only high priest. He fulfills the office, that office, in that he once suffered and offered himself as a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. And we read that, we read it in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11 and 12. But Christ came as a high priest of good things to come, with greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. Now, we have religions, excuse me, that teach that that God lives in a tabernacle somewhere. But God does not live in a temple made with hands. God lives in the hearts of his people. And Christ entered into the Holy of Holies where God abides. And this is the more perfect tabernacle that is not made with hands. That's where Jesus Christ went after he died. And he entered in, not with the blood of goats, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Thank you. I had water. I was just too slow to drink it. Thank you. As you can see, the Lord provides all things. So all of this is clearly set forth in chapter 9. We read chapter 9. I love reading the book of Hebrews because chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10 talks about Christ, our priest, our high priest, and his offerings once and for all, our eternal salvation. He entered into the Holy of Holies. He's done everything for us. He's prepared everything. Now, Christ doesn't save us to leave there alone. He doesn't save you and I and say, okay, now I've saved you. I died at the cross. Now you need to take your paddle and paddle your own boat. Oh, no, we have such a high priest. Look at Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of our majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord has erected and not man. See, this is not the work of man. This is what's wrong with religion today. This is what's wrong with people's mind. This is the work of deity. No man can do this work. No man could even think about doing it. And is incapable of doing it. He has gone his own way. But Christ, look at this verse again. Now this is the main point of the things which we are saying. We have a high priest. Not we had, not we will have. There's people in this world Well, just the Roman Catholic Church alone claims to have over 1 billion faithful, and they don't have what we have. And I wish they would. I wish my neighbors would. We have such a high priest who is taking care of salvation for us. He did the perfect sacrifice. We cannot add to this sacrifice. You cannot take away from it. It's perfect. How can you replace someone that's perfect? I often say I could not replace my wife because I couldn't find another one like her. But you see, we cannot replace our Savior. He's irreplaceable. And his priesthood is unchangeable. He is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. I love that. When you get up tomorrow morning, your Savior will be the same. He won't change his mind about the way, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And there's only one name under heaven whereby men must be saved, and it is the name of Jesus Christ. So we have such a high priest who sat down on the right hand of the throne of our majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary, the true sanctuary, the true tabernacle, not pitched by men. Human priests in the Old Testament brought into the sanctuary the blood of others. But Christ went in with his own blood, not the blood of others. The blood of Christ was not the blood of his earthly father. The blood of Christ came from heaven. Christ entered in with his own blood. Christ is able to go directly, and he did go directly into the Holy of Holies, pour the blood on the mercy seat. Now we can do the same. We don't need mediators. The Bible tells us there's only one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. All we need is one. If he's perfect, what else do you need? We need no one else. We have the perfect one. We have the perfect plan of redemption. We have the perfect priest. We have the perfect victim. And we have the Holy of Holies. And we can come boldly, because we are priests, and I'll talk about that in a little later, because we need our Lord, and we need to have access to him. Why should we have access to him through another mediator who is simply another sinner? It wouldn't work. It could not work. The Bible says, you, us, are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's possession. That's in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 and 9. So, we are priests. Sometimes we forget that, you know. We forget that we are the priest of God. Christ paid a tremendous price to purchase us so that we could be the priest of God. That God wants to use. I don't understand why a holy God would want to use me. But I do know that's his plan, and that's how it works. All true believers are priests. That's what the Reformers fought. Calvin fought that. Luther fought that. All the great men of God fought the fact that they believe in the priesthood of the believer. Not a special kind of priest that's set aside by a religion of men. But those that are chosen of God. The sacrifices offered by Christians in the exercises of our priesthood, of course, are not for sin. We do not offer sacrifices for sin. Christ has done that once and for all. Cannot be repeated. And you can read it in those four chapters that I read, 7, 8, and 9, and 10 that I said earlier. It talks about the sacrifice of Christ that he has done once and for all. When you do something perfect, you don't need to repeat it. And he did something perfect. It doesn't need to be repeated. And what did he do? Christ offered the true and only sacrifice for sins. We can't do that. His sacrifice was perfect. His work was complete. And at the cross, he said, John chapter 19, I believe, in verse 30, he said, "It is finished." Would our Lord lie to us? When he said it is finished, it's because he accomplished what he had to accomplish. The work was done. That's it. Simple for those who believe, not so simple for those who don't. With his sacrifice, God was fully satisfied, not partially satisfied. You know, when I was a Roman Catholic, I'm an ex-Roman Catholic, as most of you know, I was an altar boy for a while, and I would have liked to have been a priest. In my family, both sides, we had people in the clergy. And, you know, in the province of Quebec in those days, it was an honor if you had someone in the family that would be part of the clergy, because you would be more sanctified than the others, and you were honored, and you were closer to God, and all these types of things. But I am a priest now. God has given me what I wanted. But I didn't know, you know? So praise be unto the Lord that we are priests. And then we'll look at our responsibilities a little later. So Christ offers the perfect sacrifice. And he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He opened the way. And what happened when he died after he said those words? The veil in the temple was rent, cut in half. And that was to symbolize that Christ had opened the way for us to come before our holy God. Imagine that. A holy God who is pure and perfect. Invites us in so that we can worship him and come to him with our and confess our sins and praise him and whatever we need to do when we come before him. The way was open. But the Roman Church and the Greek Orthodox Church, they're closing the veil. They say only the priests can go in there, not the people. But that is not true. All believers have access. Our priesthood consists of sacrifice of praise, number one. We come to church and we praise our Lord. Then we do it at our house. We sing hymns and we praise our Lord. And we get up in the morning and do our devotions and we praise him. That's a priestly function that all of us has to do. We're called to do that. That's a responsibility. It's nice to be a priest. But here's part of our responsibility is to offer praises unto him. And he gives us the grace to do it. He brings us here and gathers us together. And he comes with his presence and the Spirit comes and we rejoice in him. I was rejoicing while singing hymns with you this morning. I love singing hymns with God's people. Isn't that a blessing to be able to praise the Lord? It's a grace. It's an honor. So there's the fruit of our lips. This offering of thanks and praise to God in worship expresses the gratitude of our hearts unto our Savior. That's what it's designed to do. And I must confess to you this morning that I have not always been the priest that I should be. So when I did this study, God spoke to me. And he showed me that he is worthy of all praise and all honor, and that I should walk with him in faith, in praise. Second, there is the sacrifice of offering of our gifts, which we did this morning. We give a portion of what God gives unto us to support the work of God. And we do it out of love, because we love him, because he's our high priest. Because he's the perfect one. Because he has done all. And he's our all in all. And we are complete in him. Complete. And then here's another part of our responsibility. God takes our pleasure in receiving our gifts. But he also wants us to do good to others. I'm sorry that you have to put up with my throat this morning. I apologize. God wants us as priests to be kind and loving with our brothers and sisters. We're to minister to one another. We're to look at our brothers and sisters as better than ourselves. When I learned that lesson, I became much better with myself. Believe me. The word is true. We need to love one another. We need to forgive one another. We need to walk and see Christ in our brothers and sisters. Because the reality is, he does live in you, and he lives in me. If I hurt you, I'm hurting Christ. Let us remember that. Let us be the priest that we need to be in this church. We need to minister to one another and to love one another. As Christ has loved us. Freely all things were given unto us, and we're to give back freely. I know sometimes it's not easy to forgive. I'm like everybody else. I have my hard time sometimes to forgive. But you know what? I go to my high priest, your high priest, and I come to Jesus and I say, Lord, this person has hurt me and I can't forgive. I need you to help me. This is the attitude that we should have. And Christ, by his grace, God will give us that grace to forgive one another and to walk with one another and to praise our Lord and to give unto his work. So, and we are to offer, according to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, we're to offer our bodies as living sacrifice. We're to serve him, not out of duty, because we love him, because you know it's his work, because you cherish him as your Savior. He's dear to you. He's dear to you, and he's near you, and he's there. And he tells us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If in your priesthood you're having a hard time, come to me, Jesus said, and I will give you rest. And only Christ can give us rest. So Christ died as a priest. Christ served God as a priest. In the Old Testament, the priest died from being a priest, but Christ died as a priest. There's the difference we have today. In John chapter 3, we read that we are the children of God. And that we are, and we read in 1 Timothy that we have, Christ is our only mediator, our only priest. We are no longer servants, but we are in the family of God. You are my brothers and sisters. Thus, the New Testament sets forth a new and a different kind of priesthood. First, Christ is our true high priest, who is in the heaven. And second, the universal priesthood of all believers, through which they offer spiritual sacrifices of praise and gifts and of themselves. It thereby repudiates the pretentious claims of Rome and their priesthood. It's invalid. It cannot work. It is not of God. You can read that in Acts of the Apostles, where the Bible tells us that God does not live in a temple made with hands. When I was an altar boy, I used to help serve with the priest. And I remember him go to the tabernacle and take his key and open the door and take Jesus out, according to them. And then when he would perform the sacrifice of the Mass, he would take the host and bring it up in the air and say, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That is not the Lamb of God. No. The Lamb of God is in heaven. He lives in us, in our hearts. He does not live in a piece of bread. And I say that kindly. All my relatives were, and those that are still alive, are practicing Roman Catholics. By God's grace, I've got to lead some to the Lord. And none of them went back. They went back only to tell them that they had been saved. When I got saved, I wrote a letter to the church and I told them, I no longer believe what you believe. I no longer want to be a member of this body. I am now a member of the body of Christ. And I've been saved by faith. And I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I pray the same for you. And I sent that letter. And it was registered. And I've kept it. But there's one thing I'd like to say to you that I'd like to share that sometimes bothers me. And what bothers me is that I hear people say there's Catholics that are saved and there are in the Church of Rome. It's possible. But let me tell you this. Jesus prayed in his priestly prayer. He prayed that to his Father, sanctify them to thy, with, by thy truth. He also said that my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I do not believe that Christ saves a soul and he leaves him there. No. Christ loves those people because he died for them and he shed his blood for them and he intercedes for them. They may be there a while, but they will come out. Everyone that I know that I led to the Lord who came from Rome never went back. And I praise the Lord. And you know what this is showing us? It's showing us that Christ is true and he's real and he does what he says he's going to do. So I want to encourage you today as you give the gospel. And if you meet some, and you may, and maybe you have, and they claim to be saved and they're still in the Church of Rome, teach them about Hebrews 7, 8, 9, and 10. That's what convicted my wife. She came out of Rome because she saw this. And I tell you now, there may be people listening today by internet, and you may be wondering, read those chapters and ask. Because Jesus said, if we ask, we shall receive. And if you knock, the door shall be open. And God will give you the truth. He will show it to you. He'll open your eyes. So I pray for them. And I share the gospel with them. And pray that the Holy Spirit will show them that Jesus is the perfect and only high priest. And he's alive. And he's no man can contain him. You can't put him in a box. He doesn't belong there. He belongs in our hearts. So I thank God for the only mediator between men and God. I thank God for the work of redemption. Now I want to show you something else. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Please, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to show you in Scripture, in verse 11, when Paul talks about he who, in verse 10, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Where's the word priests? Not there. It is not there. If God had ordained priests to offer sacrifices, he would have put them in there. And he would have given them directions on how to proceed. But they are not there because God abolished that work. The Old Testament priesthood fulfilled what it had to do. And then Christ came. And he is the mediator of a better testament. So you don't see it here. For by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's probably one of my favorites. If you would like to turn with me back to Hebrews in chapter 7. Now, I have no doubt that those who are caught up in that system are sincere for the most part. But you can be sincere, but that doesn't save you. Sincerity saves nobody. Hebrews 7, verse 24. Well, let's start at verse 22. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, meaning Christ, because he continues forever as an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he also able to save to the uttermost those who come to him to God through him, since he always lives to make intercessions for them. So you see the difference? Christ is alive. The old dead priests are dead. They can't do anything. Verse 26, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. I cannot explain to you what the higher than the heavens is, but praise God for this priest. Praise God for our high priest. He's undefiled. He's pure. He's perfect. He does not do anything unless it's done perfectly. And he did the will of the Father, and he humbled himself, took on flesh for us, and died, and was humbled, and he was mocked, and he was crucified, and he bled, and he cried out. He gave it all. He gave it all, and no man, woman, can't do that for us. I do not believe that Mary is co-redemptress. She was his dear mother. That's it. And she needed to be saved just like him. Like by him, I mean. She needed to be saved by him. And she did call him her Savior, by the way. And so praise God for this great work of redemption and for this great Redeemer. So there is no place in Christianity now for a sacrificing priesthood. We have the best. The sacrifice of Christ was therefore once and for all. Sacrifice which he only could make and which cannot be repeated by its very nature is final and complete. It is a work, like I said earlier, of deity and not of man, so it cannot be repeated by any man, any more than the work of creation. You can't recreate the world, it's already been created. By that one sacrifice, the utmost demands of God's justice were fulfilled and forever satisfied. Okay, so the satisfaction, he satisfied God forever. So the final atonement has been accomplished. That's why he said what he said. It is finished. Oh, I wish that those people caught up in those religions would see those words, would see this great high priest of Hebrews chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10. If they could see that, oh, they would change instantly. They would just cry out to him. Praise God that he opened the way, you know, as only he could. Hence, the continuing priesthood in the Church of Rome is absolutely unscriptural. When I used to go door to door and people would let me in and talk to them about the Lord, I used to like to take him here. And I used to talk to them about the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus speaketh better than the blood of Abel. And we need the application of the blood to be saved. So we are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, for God's own possession. That's what we are, for him. We live for him. It's not about us. It's about him. That's another lesson I learned in Christianity. You know, when I was younger, I thought it was about me. You know, I knew all these things. But as you mature and the Lord teaches you, you come to know that this life is, we're living it for him. He's the great creator. And he is yet the architect of our redemption. So as Christians, we are not laymen, and we are not spectators. But we are to be engaged in serving one another, loving one another, and when we do so, we are blessing our God and our Savior. So a true priest today, we don't offer sacrifices for sins. We're to be involved in the life of others. And we're to be responsible for others. We have the duty and the privilege to make God known to others, but we have that same duty regarding one another. We're to sharpen our swords. We're to share Christ with one another. I invite you to come to the picnic. And when you come, I pray that we can talk about the Lord. Talk about what the Lord has done for you. Or talk about what the Lord has done for others and rejoice in him. Rejoice in him over victory over sin. Rejoice over answered prayers. Rejoice over your family and the blessings that Christ has given you. Share. We need to share Christ with one another. Share that priesthood. The priesthood, therefore, applies to all believers and consists of two things: immediate access to God in prayer. So we need prayer I need prayer. I thank you earlier for praying for me so I would have the grace to preach the word today. But we need prayer daily. Our church needs prayer. As a church, we need prayer. We want to move forward with the Lord. We need prayer. And that's our responsibility as priests. Our responsibility as priests is to pray for ourselves, pray for our family, pray for our community, and pray for the church. Immediate access to God in prayer. We have immediate access. Don't let the devil tell you, oh, you're going to say the same thing you said yesterday. He says that. Or he's going to say you're not worthy to come before the Lord. You've sinned. Or you don't believe. Or you're afraid. Don't listen to the devil's shouts. Don't listen to your own mind. Trust not in your own heart. Believe that you have access to the mercy seat by the merit of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our High Priest. He is there, and he listens, and he answers prayer in his time. He does. And he always answers prayer in his own way, in his own time. So we need to exercise that priestly function for one another. And when we do, God bless. God bless. We need unity. We need to pray for our unity for us together as we move forward. We need to pray for a minister. We need to pray for elders. And there are many, many needs. And we're all priests, and we all have access to the throne. And we come to God and put those burdens in his hands. Do you need rest in your life? Do you have issues? Our great high priest can meet all the demands above and beyond what we can ask and expect of him. Remember at the beginning of the year, we had this great verse that was given to us. Call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And during VBS, we were invited to look at the wondrous work of God. God is a work of God. It does great work. We need to look to him by faith and expect great things and ask for great things. Don't be afraid to ask for great things. He's a great God. He did the greatest thing that no one could do. No one could meet the challenge, not even close. All we need to do is come. And Christ says, come unto me, and I will bless you. He wants to pour his blessings. Don't let the devil tell you, not today. No, every day we need his blessing. I'm going to be 67 pretty soon. I need Christ more now than I ever did. But you know why, right? There's a couple of reasons, right? You know? But I need him in my soul more than I ever have. The more I know of him, the more I need him. The more perfect he is in my eyes, the more of a sinner I am. And the devil likes to turn the switch on. There have been times where I was battling going to pray with other Christians because I felt they prayed really well and I wasn't good enough to pray like them. Forget the words. God wants people with just a sincere heart. Sincerely come to him and pour your soul upon him for yourself, for your family, and for this body and for our community. That's part of, this is what we are to be as priests. I can't wait to see what the king part is going to be. But we are kings. Jesus said so. Peter wrote of it. And John wrote of it in the book of Revelation. I'm not going to speculate about the future. I don't want to go there. I'm content to deal with the present. I can't do anything about the past. Can't do anything about the future. But I can come to my God today. Anytime today. No matter if it's 2 times, 10 times, it doesn't matter. He's never too busy. He doesn't sleep. And he knows all things. We have the greatest God. We have the greatest high priest. He lives forever, and he's unchangeable, and he's pure, and he's perfect. Sacrifice is perfect. His work is perfect. He answers prayers perfectly. Sometimes he answers prayer that I would like to answer in a different way, but he answers it the way he wants because he wants the best for me. Christ will not give me the second best ever. He gives me what's best for me and for my family. Oh, sometimes I wish I had this. Don't you cry and moan like that? Oh, I wish I had a better car. I wish I had a 3 weeks vacation instead of one. All this other. Christ gives us the best. And he does everything so that we can come to him and receive the best from him. So we are a royal priesthood. You see, in the Old Testament, the animals did not voluntarily come to be sacrificed. They had to be dragged in. Have you ever seen someone slaughter a cow or a pig? They don't want to go. They know something bad is going to be happening. But when Christ went to the cross, he went there voluntarily. He volunteered to come. We read that in here. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, if I can find it. Where he talks about in verse 19, we read, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confessions of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So Christ is faithful to answer our prayers. And he came willingly and volunteered to come to die. And he didn't shed the blood of others. He shed his own. So we are a royal priesthood. And under obligation individually to make the message of our great salvation known to others. In Jude, verse 24, we read, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Now, this is a great word. To keep us from stumbling. To present you before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Christ will present us to the Father with great joy. God, our Savior, who alone is wise, wise be the glory and majesty and dominion and power now and forever. Now and forever. That's the great Savior we serve. That's the great high priest that we have. We know the best. Don't need the rest. We know the best. Let us bow in prayer. Our Father, we thank you today that Jesus, our great high priest, he is the perfect high priest. His sacrifice was perfect. We thank you for him. We thank you that you gave us your best. We thank you that you work in our hearts, and that only Christ can forgive our sins, and that only Christ can show us the way, that only Christ can encourage us in the work. But we know that you hear our prayers. We remember the disciples were when they were in the ship, and the storm came, and they woke up the Lord. They said, we will perish. They thought they were going to perish, but he was there with them. He knew that the storm was there. He brought the storm there. And so, Lord, we thank you. Sometimes you bring storms in our lives. You bring storms in the life of the church. But you are our king. You are our high priest. You are in control of these things. And so, therefore, help us. Give us the grace and the mercy on a daily basis to be the priest that we ought to be. I want to be a better priest. I haven't been as good as I should have, Lord, and I confess that publicly today. I could have been a better priest to this congregation. And so, Lord, take our hearts this morning. Take our souls. Take our bodies. And we're giving them to you today and present them to you that so that we may live and serve you and give you all the praise and the honor and the glory and the majesty and the dominion now and forever. Amen.